of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or interfaith relations. Today, I've invited Richard Leckinger to a Zoom recording for broadcast. Richard, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, Beata. How are you today?
Thank you, Richard. Richard Leckinger is originally from the United States and has been living in Aotearoa, New Zealand for more than 30 years. In his capacity as general manager at Be a Tidy Kiwi, Richard used to produce a regular radio program on Access Radio Planet FM 104.6, which is a community-based radio station. For the last 4 years, he was the chair of the board of directors of the station. This has been a crucial time as the station had to look for new premises and has recently completed the move. Richard, the radio station was established more than 30 years ago, but the last 4 years have been significant for the station. Can you give us a bit of a background?
Sure. Well, it was a confluence of a whole bunch of crazy events, some planned for a long time, and others not so planned. And, you know, 25 years ago, the board and the management of the station started putting money away to buy our own place. Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, a consortium of NGOs got together and said, oh, you know, we really want to put together a community hub where NGOs that serve former migrants, asylum seekers, and refugees can kind of co-locate, share services, you know, work together. And we weren't part of that original study, but they reached out to us when they did the study and we went, oh, that's a great idea. And of course, this was after we'd been putting money away for 23 years, right?
Yes.
and so they said, well, do you want to kind of join the party? Because we're looking for a new home and to build a community hub. And we said, okay, let's join that party. Now, parallel to this, in the lead up to COVID, which is kind of a pin on the calendar that we all remember, our location at
Unitech.
At Unitech, I always want to say AUT. Planet started at AUT, then it moved to Unitech, and we were at Unitech for 13, 14 years. But anyway, that property was sold, and we knew that it was going to become Kaingohora housing. But the timing was never clear, and things were delayed, and, you know, all the delays that were going on with Housing New Zealand at the time. So a whole bunch of things were up in the air, including COVID, which, of course, we didn't see coming. But we knew we had to move.
We knew that it would have been taken down the building.
Correct. And we knew we had to move away because the whole area that we were at was going to be demolished and housing built. We were also part of this consortium that was looking at properties. And our perspective of that co-papa, which was a community hub, was, well, we don't want to rent anymore. We've been saving for 23 years. We want to buy. And the other partners were like, oh, we're not so sure. Let's look at both. So we did. And we looked at rental properties. We looked at purchasing properties. And, you know, we were all open-minded about it. And then COVID came.
Yes.
And even what we were looking for as a building completely changed because everybody started remote working. And all our grand plans, and we needed at least 1,000 square meters to house all the NGOs who were part of this consortium. But everybody went a year and a half in, we're like, no, we don't want that much space because we're all working from home remotely, et cetera, and we're going to keep doing that. We need an office space, but we don't need half of what we originally asked for. Now, Planet is different. We have studios.
Yes.
We needed the same space in spite of COVID, or not in spite of COVID, just never mind COVID, right? At any rate, all of these things kind of bubbled down to us as a consortium deciding that Planet FM was going to buy a building and be the anchor.
The other point was Planet FM couldn't just take any building. You know, you couldn't go and have the building behind.
No, I was getting there. That's exactly where I was going. So first of all, we downsized our expectations of how much space we needed. Second of all, we kind of decided we were going to buy. So then we started shopping on those terms. Well, let me tell you, A, what you just mentioned, there are very key constraints that Planet FM has. We have to build studios and we need relative quiet, not perfection, just relative quiet. We're a community radio station. We're not a Hollywood soundstage, right? So it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be good. But we had requirements and so did they. So did our partners. You know, they needed some accessibility. We all needed transport. We all needed parking. We all need, you know, public transport accessibility and wheelchair accessibility and all these other things. And the crazy irony of it is, and we're looking at places all over, mostly South and West Auckland, because the majority of our collective clients, including our broadcasters, are kind of on that South and West axis of Auckland. The great irony is we stumbled upon a building in Mount Albert, which was only 600 meters from our existing building at Unitech.
Yes.
An old ASB bank branch that closed before COVID, not because of COVID, and had been sitting empty. And it was a little bit smaller than anybody wanted. But actually, COVID was already knocking our expectations on what we wanted. And we bought it. It's kind of the story I tell on that is that I literally lowballed the bid.
So how did you find out about it?
Well, the building was just being advertised, you know, just ordinary real estate. You know, we're looking for commercial buildings of a roughly certain size with roughly certain characteristics. And this ended up in the list, you know, a typical filter.
Yeah.
And so nothing special there. But what was special was that the current owner at the time, Eileen Rolfe, a local Mount Albert, you know, somebody a lot of people knew. She's a known person in the community, a known community stalwart. This was the last property in her family portfolio that she was selling off, that she and her husband had built over years and years. Any rate, she sat down at the negotiating table with us and we negotiated a price and she sold it to us. And the sad irony of it is that she passed away the day after she signed all the documents.
Oh my.
And so we never met her. We never met her. And I met her at her funeral, so to speak.
Yes.
And fabulous woman, well connected in the community. I mean, I knew lots of people at her funeral and had a great time. It was a great social event because she was a very social person. So it was a real life celebration. Anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge Eileen Rolfe because this is a seemingly random person, but she's actually a Mount Albert person who has made a major contribution to Planet FM.
Yes.
Without ever having set foot in the place and having never met the board.
So why was she so interested in supporting the radio station? What did you tell her? Or what did yeah.
There was no embellishment. I just said, look, we're building a community hub for, you know, of NGOs for former migrants, asylum seekers, and refugees. And this place ticks all our boxes. We want to be at the table. And she's like, okay, we'll start with you at the table. And it went from there. Anyway, it was a successful negotiation, a successful purchase. Sadly, I never met Eileen. But of course, now we're in the throes of COVID and all the supply chain issues and worker delays and continued lockdowns and a typhoon, which made the roof leak, which is something we still haven't got sorted completely. All these things meant that the renovation project took literally three times longer than it was originally scheduled.
Yes.
And in the meantime, Kyinga Order kicks into gear and correctly boots us out of our old place. You know, it's not like they didn't give us any notice. They gave us a couple of years notice. Right. So when I say they kicked us out, it wasn't in any way horrible. It was just unfortunate timing. But anyway, so there's been a lot of anxiety. We've been through a lot of drama. But we're finally in the new home. It's all coming together. There are technical teething problems, as you would expect. We're still fighting some minor leaking on the roof that was damaged in a typhoon a year and a bit ago. But it's step by step. Coming together.
So tell us about you said that it was an ASB bank, and I remember the building. I used to go to this ASB bank every now and then. It was a really dull and a very simple building. So what happened when you looked at it, and did you say, oh, well, that's the right building? Or were you just saying, okay, that's what we could afford? We could only afford it because we had the special dedication of Eileen Roth, and now we'll have to make something out of it.
No, we wouldn't have even bid on it if we didn't think we could make it work.
Okay.
And it was smaller than we were even looking for at the time, but that has proven to be an okay thing because of COVID. You know, yes. our expectations from COVID. And when I say our, I mean all the partners, didn't shrink all at once. It was like every 6 months we were saying, actually, we need less space than we said. Because as a group, we were reviewing, what do we really need? Because we were then starting to design things. And in the end, it was like, actually, it's not that we have too much space right now. It's actually just right, I think. But when we actually looked at the building, we went, this is too small. But it ticks every other box. Should we go for it? The answer was yes. Let's at least try. And of course, then we got it. The downstairs of the branch had always been record storage for ASB. It had never been occupied. It was not a place where any human worked, except to drop off ledgers, old, dusty, musty ledgers from the 19th century, all handwritten, glorious, beautiful stuff. Which I got to occasionally poke my nose in, probably inappropriately, but...
So going to the museum?
Actually, ASB does have a museum of sorts for that sort of thing. And if you go to their headquarters down at the viaduct, they have a number of these ledgers in glass cases for you to inspect, open to pages where people are certainly dead, so there's no privacy implications.
Yeah.
The privacy implications we had was that a lot of the ledgers that were down there were recent enough that some of these people might still be alive. So we were very careful about not letting people poke through ledgers.
That's good.
Even though they were beautiful. Basically, what we did is we opened up a really old one downstairs so that people could look at it and go, oh, that's what those ledgers are. Because the handwriting is immaculate. And the simple arithmetic that they were doing to manage these people's accounts, it's just beautiful. Imagine that as a job skill. Hi, can you do basic arithmetic? Is your handwriting absolutely flawless? And can you be polite to our bank customers? You have a job.
Yeah, very different to today. And of course, they didn't have as many customers as ASB has today.
Yes. At any rate, that we had to convert the downstairs completely. I mean, there wasn't even proper ventilation for humans. It was just storage.
Yeah.
The upstairs was a traditional branch, but it had been built in 1960. Now, 1962. Because the branch was built by ASB, the building, and it was for storage, they built it like, not nuclear proof, but they overbuilt it.
Yeah.
Really solid. So, because one of our criteria was that the building had to pass the minimum earthquake standards. We were not going to move in to purchase a building that we had to do any earthquake strengthening to.
Yeah.
But even though it was built in 62, it met all those requirements. which means there's way too many pillars downstairs, big concrete pillars. But but it means you know, the radio station will be on the air in the event of a natural disaster. You know, we're above the flood.
Which is important, because that's when you need the radio program.
Correct. And, you know, we have a generator. We're above all the flood lines that are on all the council maps. You know, assuming that Sky Tower has power to transmit our FM signal, we're going to be on the air in a natural disaster.
So the view to the Sky Tower is good.
Yes, that was, ironically, that was one of our criteria. We beam, Planet FM beams its live broadcast signal via a VHF link to Sky Tower, where it is converted to FM and broadcast from right up at the top, you know, that pointy bit. So we shoot our signal into one of the windows, kind of in the bulb near the top.
Yeah,
we literally shoot our signal through one of the windows, and there's a receiver there, and then it goes upstairs, gets turned into FM, and broadcast to all of Auckland.
Wonderful. And tell me about these groups that, because you mentioned the community hub. What does it mean? You said that there were people renting the place or hiring part of the place.
Yes. The original consortium, and I'll mention them all by name, even though some of them are not now in the hub. COVID changed a lot of things, right? And the original group that put together the feasibility study was ARCC, which is that, I can't remember what the acronym means at the moment, but it is a coalition of community support services itself is a coalition. RAS, Refugees and Survivors, and they provide mental health services. The Red Cross.
Richard, ARCC is the Aotearoa Resettled Community Coalition. Communities,
that's it. And they are a coalition of they themselves are a coalition. RAS, Refugees and Survivors, who provide mental health services to, former refugees, migrants, and asylum seekers. Yes. Red Cross Aotearoa, who had a huge resettlement program contract, which ironically changed during COVID. And so the amount of space that they wanted when they first joined the consortium went to zero, and they pulled out. However, Red Cross is now back in the building, but it's actually a slightly different part of Red Cross than the part that was part of the original feasibility study and program. So Red Cross is in, but they were in a different group and much bigger. Then they were out because of COVID and contract changes, and now they're back in a smaller group, again, working with settlement services. And they're sharing a space upstairs with Belong Aotearoa. And Belong also does all kinds of, I mean, the number of different services that they provide to recent emigres of various flavors and stripes is amazing. And, they're all building community. That's all of them are at the front line of getting people who've just arrived in New Zealand integrated into their communities.
That's wonderful. And it connects so well to the community radio.
It does in part. And I often say that, you know, Belong and Red Cross are at the very front of the funnel. These people are literally getting off the plane or the boat, and it's Belong and Red Cross who are helping them integrate. Planet FM, most of our programs are produced by migrant communities, some of whom have been around for 75 years. We have some programs that have been on air for the whole 33 years we've been on, or 35 years we've been on the air.
Yes.
And, Alliance Francaise, that wasn't the name of the program. Sorry, that's the name of an education program. But our French program just went off air about a year and a half ago after 31 years, because they said everything they do is now available on the internet for the French community, French speaking community in New Zealand.
You have the Korean program that is already 28 years old, and it's still going with a good group of Koreans.
It is. Korean Catholic Radio produces radio 5 days a week for the Korean community. And even though it's Korean Catholic Radio, Korean public radio in Korea is involved. Local volunteers are involved. And I understand that a huge percentage of Korean immigrants, Catholic or not, listen to Korean Catholic Radio most days of the week to get the news. Find out what's happening back home, but also find out what's happening in Aotearoa in Korean.
And that's really important because there are huge numbers of Koreans in Auckland, for example, who are not very fluent in English. So those can listen to the radio program, and those who are fluent in English can practice their Korean.
Exactly right. And the exact same thing applies to a number of Pacific communities. You will have younger people, and by younger, I mean from, 40 on down, whose English is perfect because they've been in New Zealand for years. But their parents come over from the islands. But basically, the seniors in the household, their English isn't particularly good. Well, they also want to pass on their language. So, again, the broadcast in Niuean, Samoan, Tongan, take your pick. People can hear the news and information in their own language, regardless of whether they're, again, somebody who's just arrived or somebody who's been here for two generations, but they get to hear it in their own language.
It's the same as with the Konkani program, which is the language of Goa, the area of Goa, and the program is also online available. All programs are online available, which is something really relatively new. And this helps also to spread the news. And apparently they have also listeners from other countries. Because if it's on the internet.
Yes, and the Konkani community globally listens to Planet FM's Konkani program because it's one of the few Konkani programs available outside of India.
Yes.
And they want to hear their language.
Then you have programs like My Muffin Talk, where I have a wide range of interview guests, and I have a lot of programs on interfaith, where all the communities come together.
Exactly right. And, we have children's programs, we have arts programs, we have faith-based programs. A number of our faith-based programs are in foreign languages. If you're a Christian church who wants to come on the radio, Radio Rima is there for you. If you speak English, but if you speak some other language,
yes,
you're going to end up knocking on Planet FM's door.
Yeah. And
while we don't set out to be a faith-based radio station, we do have a number of lingual, multilingual religious programs of various faiths. This is not, I mentioned Christian programming, but we have Buddhist program and Hindu programming and. I think we even have some Sikh programming. I'm not sure. I get confused.
Richard, tell me, because I have, since the lockdown, I have mainly moved to Zoom recordings because it's been easier for me. I didn't have to travel to this, to the radio station, wherever it was. But there are a lot of programs, especially if you have meetings with two or three people, if it's a group-made radio program where you need the premises, because Zoom has its limitations. You can't speak two at a time. But if you are in a radio station and you are in the studio, you can talk together and you can even sing a song together, which is not a problem, but if on Zoom it would be a problem.
Yes, and not only that, but you can eyeball each other. We're looking at each other on Zoom right now, and so we get that feedback, but being in the same room is even more feedback. And when you're talking about controversial or intimate subjects, face-to-face is great. It also helps with the audio quality to be in a studio all together with somebody mixing it down. Because no matter what you do here on Zoom, the quality won't be the same as if you recorded it in the studio. However, I will say our broadcasters, our long-suffering broadcasters, because of all the shenanigans, a lot of them, like yourself, learned how to record at home, edit at home, And literally phone in or upload their programs so that the radio could stay on the air. The station could stay on the air through lockdowns, through lack of a building because we demolished our old building, but the new one wasn't finished. You know, there was a long period there, many, many, many months, where we didn't have a station. Everything was being run from people's home offices. And, you know, you stepped up and learned a lot of skills, and that kept your program on air.
Yeah. Richard, I remember when we had the blessing of the building in December, when it was still a construction site, and the server was standing there and still producing, the, you know, connecting to Sky Tower. That was just amazing to see.
I don't want to say we finished the server room, but we got Jib up in the server room and we plastered it. And I set up a, you know, one of those temporary folding tables. And we put an old computer on it and we set that up as our server. We took it up to, we wired it up to the roof. So we were broadcasting to Sky Tower and we hooked up broadband to it. And all the programs were loaded remotely over the internet onto that server. And it, we were broadcasting from the new station long before the building was finished because our old building was gone, was demolished.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, long-suffering staff, long-suffering broadcasters. Now, that machine was filled with concrete dust and construction filth by the time we finished. And we were afraid to turn it off. Because we didn't think it would start again. We didn't let it update. We didn't let it do anything because we would not touch that thing. I had a giant cloth tarp over the table to try and keep dust off it, which did help, but it didn't prevent. Any rate, that computer has been retired because it was so, so bad at the end of the construction phase. Now it's a shiny server room with racks and pretty lights and...
Yes, and Richard, before we shouldn't forget to mention the name of the new hub.
Ah, of course. Pai Tūhono. We were gifted the name Pai Tūhono, and basically, and for all you Te Reo Māori speakers, forgive me for my loose translations, but you know the Pai Pai is the place where you stand to speak on the marae, and I don't want to, you know, it doesn't literally mean the standing place, but it does mean the place where, you know, it's an important place. It's an actually noted location. A notable location is my crude translation. And tūhono is one of those multi-purpose words in Māori, like we have in all languages, but it means to join or to come together. And literally, when you're talking grammar, they use the word tūhono, like English grammar uses the word, you know, it's a conjunction. It's where we conjoin things.
Yes.
And so Pai Tūhono is literally a place for community
to not only
come together, but for a new person to join the community. It's a place of joining. So yes, the really simplified version of the translation is it's a joining place. It's a place to join the community. And I think it's a lovely name because it actually speaks to the kaupapa of the whole hub, whether it's Planet FM, who's mostly emigres of 30 years ago, or it's Belong Aotearoa and Red Cross, who are dealing with people who emigrated last week. it's a place for the communities to come together.
Thank you so much, Richard, for this explanation. And I'm glad that we mentioned the name. And
yes.
So let's hope that they will have a lot of occasions to get the community together and for new people to join. And so thank you for the interview. And we have come to the end of the radio program. And I just want to say a few words about the Exploring Sacred Spaces events that are coming up, because this Saturday, the 30th of September, 1:30 to 3 p.m., we are going to visit a Hindu sacred space in Mangere Bridge. And then on Saturday, the 7th of October, the 8th of October and the 14th of October, we are going to visit Christian, Islamic and Baha'i sacred spaces. For more information, please check out my website or check out aucklandinterfaithcouncil.org.nz. Thank you very much, Richard, and have a wonderful day and a good week ahead.
For the world, a new day dawning and shining.